Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
A call to intercession, a call to the wall. James 4, 7 and 8 says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." You know, many times we do all kinds of things in prayer. We're screaming, we're yelling, we're rebuking, when really the power is in resisting. Lord tells us to resist. See, a call to intercession is a call to resistance, to oppose the enemy, to push back the darkness that opposes you. A call to intercession is apprehending God's heart, contending to hear the Lord as to what is on his heart, then pray that, declare it, announce it, and proclaim it. I've had the privilege to be a part of a lot of intercession groups over the years. I've had the privilege to lead many of them. And a real privilege for this ministry, several years ago, Denny Rogers passed the mantle of the Watchman on the Wall intercessors to me. And it was a really amazing time. He did it at a Watchman prayer meeting. And there came a point, and he was praying for me, and I felt like, I said, "Lord, could he release a father's blessing?" And just at that moment, he released a father's blessing. And so it's been a real dear part of my heart to lead this group of Watchmen. You know, the last couple of years, we meet weekly for prayer meetings on Thursday. But Watchmen are also, they come throughout the week and do different watches in the house of prayer. They come and they pray, and whatever the Lord puts on their heart, different times. Some of them come and they pray for teams. Some of them just come and pray what is on the Lord's heart. But there's something about coming to this place that's been set apart for the Lord, that's been set apart for prayer and intercession and worship, to be able to come and pray. And so it's just been amazing to see the maturity in them. But I'm going to, we really moved into prophetic intercession, and we've climbed into a higher realm. We really hear from the Lord, and we move on that. And Denny has a definition of that. It's the act of waiting before God in order to hear or receive his burden, his word, his concern, his warning, condition, or vision, or promise, and responding back to him with appropriate action. So there's been times where it's been a real blessing to watch the maturity and advancement in the watchmen, because some of them would come and they'd say, "You know, I don't really hear from the Lord. I don't hear like you guys hear, or you know, I don't really have discernment." And just to see then fast forward a couple years and the prophetic stuff that they're getting, the things that they're doing, and the things that are on their heart. There's prophetic dreams and visions that they get. There's discernment. And I really rely on their gifts in this season. We had a time where we were here in the mall and we were picking up on things, because that's what watchmen do. We watch and we pick up on things. So I approached the mall manager, "Hey, can we like prayer walk?" And he allowed us to go into places that are locked up in this mall that we were feeling a lot of interference. You know, and we prayer walked, and the Lord said, "Walk through the mall and break off the secret places of defilement." You know, and then there was, this mall was used for a lot of strange things. And so we would begin to walk and pray. We found some stones and the big plants that are part of the occult. The occult comes in and they will mark places. So the Lord kind of led us to those things. So that's what we do as watchmen. We just kind of have our radar on and we picked up on things. And the Lord had us really pray for this mall. And we had a really profound day that we just picked a day that it was specific to really pray about some things in this mall, and then keeping the Christian manager totally abreast of what we were doing and keeping him on the loop, and he came and participated in part of it. So it was amazing. So it's been amazing to watch the Watchman intercessors to really spend time to really seeking the Lord and really acting out on what it is that the Lord is contending for and putting on their heart. And it's amazing how just some of them that just come, and it seems like there's nothing going on, they're just hanging out in the house of prayer. Then I'll go back there to that mailbox, and I'll read one of the things that the watch report that they got from the Lord. And they get this amazing prophetic stuff, and I'm like, man, it didn't look like they were picking up on anything. They were just kind of sitting there, but to see what they're doing. So all that to say, so what do we do with our prayer lives? There's a place of prayer where we come to. And there's always a question, do we stay the same? Do we do the same old thing? Do we keep praying the same old way? Or do we go to a higher level? Do we use our gifts that we already have, or do we stretch into new ones? That's what the Lord was showing me today, that the watchmen have stretched into new gifts. I've seen people go into travail and do things in travail, and that's just where they're praying, and it looks like a childbirth, but it's really, it sounds like a childbirth, but it's really birthing something in the spirit. And the Lord was telling me the other day that it's time for twins and triplets. And I said, wow, Lord, what's that going to look like? What's that going to sound like? But it's amazing what we do. So do we pray the same? Do we push our gifts? There's a saying that says, do we do what we always do, but we expect different results? So I feel like there's a higher call to intercession. I feel like there's a shift coming, that are we satisfied with our personal prayer life, and are we satisfied with a corporate prayer life? You know, are we satisfied for what we're doing? You know, when you, I saw a program one time about the people who were the main people, the main intercessors in the country when prayer was taken out of schools. And they have repented time and time and time again for that. And they said, how did this get by under our watch? If you look at all the different laws that are happening, the things that are going on around us in this nation and in this region, Goshen's mayor just made a big move. All these different things that happen, it's under our prayer watch, guys. It's under our watch that things are happening. So what do we have to do? How do we respond to those things? Do we continue to pray the same old way? Or is there something that has to give? Is there something that has to shake? Something that has to move? See, I go to some different regional prayer meetings. I like to go to different ones. And there's the prophetic song is rising up, and there's a different element that's coming. And I go to John 17 prayer gatherings, and this is a group of pastors that get together every couple months, and we encourage one another. And a few months ago, we got together, and the guy who was facilitating, the pastor, he said, why don't we just go into a time of prayer? Let's just openly pray. And all of a sudden, something happened. He said, let's sing in the Spirit. And we sang in the Spirit, sang in tongues for over a half hour. And I had never experienced that. It was probably half women, half men. There was melodies and things. I know I was hearing angels. There was something that broke in the Spirit. There was something about that I never experienced, a corporate group of people for that period of time singing in the Spirit. I didn't want it to end. It was absolutely amazing. So the Lord is inviting us to go into different places. He's calling us. And will we walk as called intercessors? You know, sometimes we throw that word around and people don't know. I think I'm a prayer warrior. I think I'm an intercessor. See, that's part of the enemy's tactic, is he tries to attack people to not realize their calling as intercessors, to be confused by it. He tries to bring confusion. Do I pray corporately? Do I pray by myself? You know, I don't really know how to do this. He tries to really keep intercessors down because he knows that we like to hear the heart of God and pray it. We like to declare what God is doing. And so we are offensive weapons in the army of the Lord, and the enemy tries to come against that. But it's interesting how even 10 years ago or even 5 years ago at these prayer meetings, there was a little prophetic expression, not much. Every once in a while, somebody would have a prophetic word for somebody, or they'd have a little word of knowledge or something, or I'm sensing this. But within the last couple of years, it is really exploding, and all around the region in prayer meetings, everyone I go to, there's a prophetic element to it. And what it does is there's a declaration that seems to come out when there is a prophetic declaration. It comes out, and that brings us to an offensive place. Because if we hear the Lord declaring something and in the Spirit, and then we declare it out and we start to war and pray over that, that's an offensive stance. And so that's what the prophetic is coming, and it's bringing into the prayer meetings. It's bringing a shift of how we look at prayer and how we look at things that we get from the Lord. It's really bringing, and it's changing things. It's changing the whole element of it. Makes us more offensive-minded. And I believe that there's another shift coming. I believe the Lord is asking, won't you go higher? Won't you go deeper in prayer with me? And I was talking with Denny before service, and he got something from the Lord the other day. He says, will you lay down your list? Will you lay down your list, your prayer list, for the list of the burden of the Lord, what's on his heart? Will you lay down your list? Will you sacrifice it before the Lord? And will you pray what's on his heart? And let's see. I went to 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. If you can put that passage on. says, first of all, then I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth, therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. There's a lot in this passage. First of all, he wants us to pray for our leaders. You know, do we complain about our governmental leaders more, or people in authority, our bosses, other people that are in authority over us? Do we complain about them, or do we pray for them? And, you know, and there's a lot of people who really complain about our national government right now, and it's hard not to do. But we need to be praying, because this is a mandate that says we're to pray for our authorities. We're to pray. And Jesus is the mediator between us and them. And it says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. So it's a call to prayer. It's one to be able to do that. So Lord is stirring up the waters of intercession. He's stirring people to pray. He's asking us, will we take away our complaining and will we come praying instead of complaining? I believe the Lord is speaking to his church, the bride. Won't you pray? He's saying, let me tell you what's on my heart. And would you pray it? Would you declare it? Can I tell you what's on my heart? But we're busy doing this. We're running off here and there. We're texting. We're doing all the media stuff. We run. We're such a busy society. But we have to discipline ourselves, to put the seatbelt on, you know, tie ourselves to a place of prayer, to wait and hear from the Lord, to push through the resistance, to push through all the things that clamor for our time and for our affection. We need to push through. One of the greatest battlefronts where the enemy opposes the body of Christ is in the place of intercession. He wants us confused. He wants us alone and isolated. And that's what I believe, where he tries to get you alone and isolated. I pray by myself. And a lot of times that's where he really goes after people. There's something about strength in numbers. There's something about corporate prayer. We are all called to intercede. We're called to pray. We are called to seek the Lord. But there's something different when we come together to pray. When there's a wall of intercession versus a brick, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different weapon. It's a whole different thing. And so the enemy comes with confusion and he tries to push through. We just need to push back and push back the darkness that tries to invade and tries to come against our praying. Then he has I found a sheet that we have in the house of prayer, other definitions. So an intercessor is one who reminds God of his promises and appointments yet to be fulfilled, who takes up a case of injustice before God on behalf of another, who makes up the hedge, builds up the wall of prayer, who stands in the gap between God's righteous judgments and the people's need for mercy. An intercession is the act of making a request or a deep-seated burden to our one and only superior God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Prophetic intercession is the act of waiting before God in order to hear or receive his burden, his word, concern, warning, condition, responding back to him with appropriate action. Travail is a prayer that brings forth a birthing in the Spirit, which creates or enlarges an opening for an increased dimension of the kingdom of God. So a lot of times we get kind of freaked out if someone's in travail, but know the purpose of it. It's not just to freak you out, or it's not just to give you not to know what's going on. Know that that is something from the Lord, and he's wanting an opening for an increased dimension of the kingdom of God. He's wanting an open heaven. He's wanting greater access as we go into a place of travail. I had a dream a while back, probably just a few months ago, of in this house of prayer. And it was before I heard anything about that movie, The War Room, come out. About a week later, after this dream, I went to Bethel, and there was a prayer meeting for pastors, and they talked about that. But in this dream, I was walking in the back over there. I'm in the front of the place I was walking in. It was a morning, and Bob was on the microphone over here, and he was going for it. There was one person on a guitar. There was two people with flags here, one there. There was people pacing back and forth. They were pacing everywhere. And I walked in and I said, there's some missing. They're missing. Where are they? So I went out the other side and I went in over to the other room. In the area, there's a set of seats over there where the watchmen pray. We have other meetings and things there, but that's where the watchmen meet all the time. But in this dream, it was a walled-off room. It was a room. And it was a little bit bigger than the area that we now have over there with the chairs. So I walked up, and I didn't hear anything. But I opened up the door, and it was about a six-inch wide door. And I opened it up, and there are all these intercessors. They're on the floor, and they're travailing, they're wailing, and they're just going for it. And I said, oh, there they are. And when I shut the door, it said War Room on it. And I didn't know anything about this new movie coming out about intercession called The War Room. And funny thing is, it's being released the weekend that the 40-day fast starts. I thought that was really interesting when I saw the release date on there. But so here was this dream that I had probably a few months ago where, you know, when I told the watchman, we're like, you know what? We don't need a room. That's where we war anyway. That's where we meet, and that's where we war. But there was something about the strength of numbers. There was probably eight people in there, and they were all doing the same thing, just really crying out to the Lord. That definition of travail, to open up something. But I knew in my spirit in the dream that there was some people missing. There was an element missing. I mean, Bob's going for it. He's warning on the microphone. They're warning here. They're walking and pacing. But I knew that there was an element missing, and I went to find them, and that was the travail. That was the war room. That's where they were opening up something to what they were doing in the spirit. So I believe that the Lord is also inviting us to a place of the watch of the Lord. A definition of a watch of the Lord is a gathering of Jesus' name. You can read in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. It's to watch and pray and to be vigilant for the life of a church, a city, a nation. It is also positioned on the wall of the Lord in order to see outside of the city, in order to alert the gatekeepers of approaching enemies or words from our king, and inside the city to recognize and confront in prayer disorderly, unlawful activity of the enemy within. So I believe that the Lord is extending his invitation to join the watch of the Lord, to take a place on the wall overseeing Michiana. I believe that it's a time for the invitation to come out. It's really been interesting. I've had emails, I've had texts, I've had people contact the ministry. They're asking, how do I sign up to come into the house of prayer? How do I sign up to pray? How do I come here? And I found that really interesting. The Lord's already brewing this message, and all of a sudden people are getting contacted about how do I do that. And so after service today, we have a sign up. We used to have a watchman application, but it was kind of clunky and bulky and took a little while. So the Lord had me redo it, and it's basic information to sign up. And we have the IHOP time on there. The Lord said, have them be able to sign it up in less than a minute. So I timed myself. I did one, and it was a little too long, so I cut some stuff out so that I could fill it out in less than a minute. Because that's what I felt I got from the Lord. He just wanted it streamlined to be able to say, you know. And on there's slots in there. So just pray about it. That's something that you feel, that you have the time to come here to be part of the wall of intercession, to be a watchman, to be part of what we do here, just to come to this place to pray, to be able to be here in this environment. And go ahead and afterwards in the lobby there'll be a couple gals out there. They'll be taking signups, like I said, just real easy. If you have questions, you can email me or talk to me later about it, what it is. But it's really, you can come to the Watchman prayer meetings, or you can come anytime that the IHOP is open. You can come and pray. Some of them like to come during the time that a team is on because they're team intercessors. They pray for what the team is doing in the spirit realm while the team is playing. And some come when teams are not playing. They just come to be able to hear from the Lord for whatever reason. And there are some that come at specific times because that's the time that the Lord has called them to come. So it's, but that's available for you afterwards. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to release his prophetic downloads to give us direction. Can you put that word back up on the screen from the other day? So he said, I'm calling the intercessors my storm chasers. You know, I've never heard the Lord refer to an intercessor as a storm chaser before. And when I got that, I walked in the door, And Sue was in travail, and Sandra was helping her. I walked into briefing. Okay, I'm just going to come in, and we're going to do our team thing, and we're going to go out there. She's in travail. Bob's practicing a song, and I get hit with this download, and I couldn't get my notebook out fast enough to write this out. And I was thinking about it. I just saw a show on storm chasers. And the reason why they go after, some are just crazy, and they go after storms for no particular purpose. But most of them go to get data to understand how the storms form and where they're going and to get information. So they get as close as they can to the storm to get information. So what I saw is watchmen, it's to not freak out at the storm, but because you know what? Jesus slept through a storm. And it didn't bother him a bit. You know, he slept right through it. And so for us to run into that place of the storm to get data, you know, sometimes we to know how to pray, how to press in, what to do, what is going on with this storm when things happen, when our governmental leaders make decisions and it affects everybody's all stirred up, that's a storm. So we get information to know how to pray, to get as close as we can to that storm, to know how to pray. He says, keep your eyes on the ever-changing spiritual climate. You know, and they're always showing the Doppler radar. Well, if this happens, that happens. This will move in. This storm will come. If it gets hot in the afternoon, this and that will happen. So the Lord is wanting us to keep our eyes on the spiritual climate. And I love that, this Bob pointing out. My rain must be poured out over your nation, home life. And then the climate must shift to allow my rain. So, you know, it's one of those things to be able to pray, to be able to know that we can still change things. That God, he lets us partner with him to be able to be part of what things that change. You know, is he going to change his mind about something? Some things, you know what? God's judgment is God's judgment. And I believe if he has judgment, there's nothing we can do to change it. But if God's in that place before judgment, I believe that our intercession can change his mind on something. We can press in and we can push back some things to be able to do that. And then also during that same set, do you have that acronym for the prayer? I love this. Push radically against your external resistance. Prayer. To push radically against your external resistance. See, there's a pushing back in the battle of prayer. There's two definitions of resistance. It's two-sided. One is to resist the devil, right, in that aspect. So that's the power or capacity to actively resist, to stand firm against another's actions toward you. And a resistance is also an organized force that hinders and opposes forward motion. So we resist the devil, but he also brings a resistance against us of what we're trying to pray in the spirit. So I want to look at Daniel chapter 10. It's always fascinating to me. Verse 12 to 14. Daniel's saying here, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. So this is always amazing to me because it says there's resistance. And sometimes we try to blame God. You know, maybe he's not going to want to answer my prayer. Maybe there's something wrong with me and something wrong with them. We always look at weird stuff. And sometimes it is just pure resistance that we're getting for something that we're praying for, something that we're contending and pressing in for, that the enemy is just going to detain us. But the most incredible thing about this passage to me was that he said that that you set your heart on understanding this and humbled yourself before your God. You know, Daniel was in a right standing before God. He was in a right place before God. He didn't come with a wrong motive, and he was opposed for 21 days. So we come before the Lord with a right motive, you know, and there's, you know, the enemy is going to try to resist us at times. We just need to push through. There's a pushing through that we need to do, that I feel like the Lord is coming to a place with us that the way that we prayed before and the things that we've done haven't worked. And I really feel like we need to go to a higher place. I love our Monday team where we go for it in intercession. And Fridays, we a prophetic declaration time. We just hear from the Lord and we declare it and we go for it. And it's an offensive-minded times in the house of prayer to really go after what's on the Lord's heart. And I love to see the singers and the musicians get stuff and be able to go to a great place. It's really interesting. I've always gotten, I hear words when Otis plays his guitar. But in the last month, that's increased. And I can't write fast enough at times. While he's playing his guitar and he's doing stuff, it sounds like singing and I hear things. It's a prophetic musician and I hear things and I write it out. And then sometimes I'll just release it to the singers and we sing around it. But as intercessors, we should be excited, really excited about two things. Romans 8:26, the Spirit intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. So we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Then in Romans 8:34, it says, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So we got the Holy Spirit and Jesus interceding for us. Wonder what life would be like if they weren't interceding for us. I want to know a list of things that were changed or that were avoided in my life or that were thwarted because they were interceding for us. The things that didn't happen because Jesus and the Holy Spirit were cranking up their intercession for us. So we need to partner with them. As intercessors, let's go to a higher call and join the intercession of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. What an amazing calling to partner with them, to partner with their intercession for us, to be able to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to go higher. And you know, it's a season of time where, like Bob, there's things shaking. If you look around this nation, there's fires, there's floods. In the next state over, there's a calamity everywhere. There's unrest in all the cities. There's things happening everywhere, you know. And then in our region last night, on the news, a 25-year-old mom was killed. They still don't know what happened there. All these different things, it's just everywhere. So it feels like things are ramping up, and it feels like things are getting more out of control. And so the thing that need to control is that watchmen need to take their place. Intercessors need to take their place. We need to pay attention. We need to watch and see what is going on and just go, man, that's terrible, and then change the channel. It's like, does that stuff move us to prayer? Does it move us? When you hear an ambulance go by, do you just wonder where they're going, or do you pray? You know, all those things. As intercessors, it's a whole different manual. It's a whole different manual when you're an intercessor. You're tuned to different things, you know, and I don't know what it is about 3 o'clock in the morning, but the Lord loves to wake up intercessors at 3 o'clock in the morning. I see a couple people going, oh man, what is it about that 3 o'clock in the morning? But he just loves to wake us up in the middle of the night, wake people up, but to have specific assignments. Sometimes you know who you're praying for, sometimes you don't. But the Lord is really leading us to a deeper place in prayer, to a higher place in prayer. I believe that what the things that we've done before in the past isn't necessarily going to work in the days ahead. So we have to ask the Lord, how do you want us to change? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to shift? What needs to change in my prayer life, Lord? What needs to change corporately in our prayer life? What needs to change in the body of Christ? How can we move this forward? And yesterday went to the Pure Assembly in South Bend, and just watching people, probably 400 or 500 Teen Challenge guys were there, and watching people pray and just praying for different things, repenting and just praying. All of a sudden, the light rain started at first, and there was this incredible full rainbow from one side all the way to the other in the midst of the prayer for repentance. And it was a light rain. Then it turned into a little heavier rain. But just to see God's people come out on a hot, humid day to try to see what's, you know, to pray for South Bend and the region. Why don't you guys pass out that sheet for the fast? Over the last month or so, the Lord just, the last year and a half, he's been giving us prophetic themes. When we would come to the Watchman prayer meeting, he would give us a theme, and we'd begin to pray into those. About 5 weeks ago, I felt the Lord say, begin to prepare for a fast, a 40-day fast. He said, this is a fast for intercessors, not the faint of heart. This is a fast that's going to shift and move things. And so then he began to give us different components each week. The the first week, he gave us the results of the fast. Isn't that nice? He's going to give us the results first. So if we fast for 40 days, this is what's going to happen. So he called it the power of resistance fast, and that's from James 4, 7, and 8. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so the results that he wants is to identify the resistance, release strategy to resist, release fresh boldness, release the intercessory declaration, and release the prophetic declaration. Accelerate the warring dream realm. I feel like the Lord is going to give us strategies on how to war in prayer, and he's going to give it to us in a dream. And because I said, Lord, what does that mean? Accelerate the warring dream realm. Identify any flesh weaknesses, the release offensive positioning proclamations, and reveal any areas of spiritual breach in your life and divine shift from a place of defensive to offensive praying. And then he gave us a prophetic theme. Then he released 20 prayer points for the fast. And then he gave us the scriptures. And then he gave us a plan. So this is going to start on Sunday, August 30th. And every Thursday, we have watchman prayer meetings, but from noon to 2, but from 11 to noon before that, Amy Romersberg and myself are going to lead, right here in the IHOP, we're going to lead prayer meetings just to be able to, and I felt the Lord wanted to call them warring prayer meetings, just to cry out what's on his heart during that time, during this fast. And so I didn't put particularly a Daniel fast or anything. I just really felt like I didn't want to put God in a box on that. I really felt like that was between you and the Lord. And it's between you and the Lord if you want to participate in this. I felt it was really, it's a fast for regional intercessors. So I took this yesterday and I had a table to pass them out over at the Pure Assembly. And I passed out about 50 of them and engaged in a conversation about intercession with about 40 people. And it was really amazing. There was a couple who had moved from L.A. recently, and the wife had lived here before in South Bend, but they came back to the area wondering, is there a house of prayer in this region? And he looked at the logo and he saw a house of prayer. And he was excited because he was looking. He didn't know how to find one in this area. But there was other regional intercessors that are feeling that the Lord is doing something, feeling like the Lord is releasing something. So I felt like I knew that this fast was going to incorporate all of September. And so August 30th all the way through October 8th. But I feel like the Lord is really wanting his intercessors to press in. And I feel like there's a real shift coming, the power of resistance, to resist all kinds of things, to resist stuff that comes against us. And it's not just for our watchmen here. Even if you're not one of our watchmen, if you don't want to be watchman on the wall, but you still consider yourself an intercessor, this fast is for you. I felt like this is the thing that the Lord is going to do. He is wanting to strengthen his prayer warriors. He is wanting to encourage those who rush the battle line in prayer. Those who have contended and spent years in prayer, the Lord is wanting to strengthen us in this hour, to strengthen you, to be able to give you fresh strategies of how to pray for your family, how to pray for people, and how to pray for your government around you. And some of the prayer points, it's really interesting. I feel like there's some of them that he's releasing strategic prayer mapping and greater levels of grace for fasting. He wants us to pray about getting prophetic words for governmental leaders. He wants us to pray about those things. Increased anointing for intercessory prayer gatherings. A fresh baptism of fire for regional intercessors. A release of divine exchange between ministries and ministry leaders. There's a lot of things that the Lord wants us to pray about through this. So when we have our prayer meetings, we're going to come and we're going to contend for these things. So what I felt to do today was this. I'm going to pray a prayer of commissioning over you, those who are feeling a call to intercession or a call to a greater intercession. I just want to pray a prayer of commissioning over you into the next season of intercession as the watchman director in this house of prayer. And then I just want us to, I felt like, okay, Lord, do you want a ministry time? And I just want us to end our time today by ministering to the Lord in prayer. So we'll pray together at the end. So Lord, I just thank you for those that you are calling to a greater place of intercession, Lord. Father, I ask that they would lock arms with those around them, Lord. Thank you for those who already lock arms and pray together, Lord. Father, I thank you for the call to intercession, Lord. I thank you that you're taking us higher and deeper, that you're taking us to a greater place, Lord. We're partnering with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus on what it is that you want us to intercede about, Lord. Thank you for the call to pray for our governmental leaders and our families, Lord. Thank you for the things that you're doing, Lord. Thank you for the greater giftings that you're releasing in us to go to that place of intercession, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. And I just commission these in the name of Jesus, Lord, to go to a higher place, a deeper place, a new place in prayer, greater places in prayer. Lord, I ask that you would release the prophetic realm in these, Lord, that you would release fresh discernment, a higher level of discernment to know what they're opposing and what's coming up and what to pray. Lord, I ask that you would just, for a fresh baptism of fire on these intercessors, Lord, that you would take them to a greater place of understanding, Lord. Their particular calling, some have a governmental calling. Some have a call to pray for marriages. Some have a call to pray for families. Some have a call to pray for the marketplace. Lord, would you strengthen the call, the specific things that you have them pray for at the top of their list, God. Lord, I ask that you would just move in a powerful way, that you would strengthen the prayer warriors to go to deeper, greater places in you, God. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord.